Please turn in your Bibles to Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1 is found on page number 980 of the Black Pew Bible. Philippians chapter 1 and page number 890 of your Black Pew Bible. I love Paul's letter to the Philippians, and it certainly is familiar to us. Just a couple second pause here and just start to think of the familiar verses in Philippians. Because you know a bunch, don't you? We know a bunch of verses in the book of Philippians. I don't want to say it's the most familiar, but probably one of the most quoted. Rejoice in the Lord always. How often do you hear that? Rejoice in the Lord always. What about, and I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. I am hard pressed between the two. My desire is to depart, to be with Christ, for that is far better. Only let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of you that you are standing firm in one spirit with one mind, striving side by side for the faith of the gospel. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each one of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Not that I am speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Probably the second most frequently quoted verse in the book of Philippians. We love Philippians. We love the emphasis on joy and rejoicing. We love the welcoming familiarity of the book of Philippians. But maybe there needs to be a word of caution. Because we are so familiar with Philippians, right here at the beginning, do we need to take a step back and consider Philippians, Paul's little letter to his favorite church, and ask the Lord to give us a hunger for the truth? And ask the Lord to help us to set aside the preconceived notions that we walked into the auditorium with this morning, to set those preconceived notions aside and say, Lord, show me Philippians as if for the very first time. And pray that the Lord will lead us into truth. This should always be our desire when we come to the preaching and teaching of the Word of God. This should be our desire when we open our Bible in our devotions or our Bible study. Lord, show me the truth. So our familiarity with Philippians can be a blessing or a curse. Let it be a blessing. But let's proceed with caution. And as we begin this morning, I'm going to ask that the elders who are here in the service come and pray for us to that end. Pray for me and lead us in a word of prayer. We do this from time to time. And so Mike's going to come and pray for us. Mike's right there. Go ahead.
God, we thank you for your word, for what it is. We recognize that it's the inspired teaching to us of who you are, what you've done, and what you expect. We pray, God, that you would open the eyes of our heart as we study this book, that your Holy Spirit would work through its teaching to give us insight into who you are. We pray, God, that we would set aside preconceived notions. We pray, God, that you would set aside distractions. We pray that we would listen attentively, that we would study it on our own, that we would follow up on questions that we have. We pray that we'd ask questions of the text, that we seek to answer through our own personal study throughout the weeks between the messages. We pray this in your Son's name. Amen.
Father, we thank you for this opportunity to open up a new book. We think of Philippians, we think of the reason Paul wrote the Church of Philippi as an encouragement through trials, through sufferings, and we pray that as we have an opportunity to just come before your word, your scripture, that you allow us to humble ourselves under the authority of your word. We have a human knowledge, we're familiar with Philippians, but as Pastor stated, I pray that we just come with any knowledge set aside, that we can glean new truth, that we can be encouraged, and that we can be encouraged just as Paul wanted to encourage the church of Philippi. And we want to pray these things in your Son's name.
As we continue in prayer, Lord, we know it's all too easy to come to a worship service and go through routine. And as we think of starting a passage, a new series, God, we come before you and ask that this would be something that we would desire to be changed, that we would not just be the hearers, but that we would be doers, that we, as already has been mentioned, the favorite verses that we might just gravitate to, we might understand what Paul was saying to the church that was certainly challenged, Lord, but Paul's challenges as well. God, I pray that we would have a great interest, a desire, a thirst for your word as we go through this book of the Bible that you've preserved for us. We ask your blessing on Don. Give him clarity of thought as he studies. God, give him the time that he might have to prepare adequately, I pray. For your glory, we ask it. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, guys. Well, by now you have found Philippians chapter 1. Will you join me in standing? I'm just going to read the first two verses of Philippians 1. Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are at Philippi with the overseers and deacons, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you. You may be seated. What I'm about to say with the next couple of breaths is the most important part of what we're doing today. Philippians is all about the power of the gospel, because Philippians is all about Jesus Christ. And the power of the gospel is the power of the gospel to save us. And the power of the gospel is to transform those who have been redeemed. Philippians is about the instigator or the author of the gospel. Philippians is about the gospel impacting the recipients of the letter, which includes us. And if you don't understand this, you will miss Philippians. If you come in with a preconceived notion about what Philippians is, and you miss this point, the gospel, Jesus Christ, power to save, power to transform, then you're going to miss Philippians. Are you ready? Let's go. So, there's a great value in preaching the Bible verse by verse. We get to see the big picture of Scripture, not just the pastor's favorite hobby horse texts. Going verse by verse, we don't get to skip the hard stuff. I appreciate your desire for expository preaching. I appreciate the fact that when you come in here on Sunday morning, there is a sense of anticipation. There is an expectancy that God's word is going to be open and God's word is going to be proclaimed, and I appreciate that. That is a great encouragement to me. I was texting Tom Nestor this week, and he began the book of Philippians last Sunday. And so we were texting, and I joked with him, well, this is going to work out well, because if you prepare a sermon one week and I prepare a sermon the next week, we can trade them, and that way we only have to do half the work. And that sounded pretty good, and we joked back and forth and whatever. And then I thought, silly me, he's a week ahead of me. I don't have to do anything. I can just get his sermons. And so I said, Tom, you know, give me a web address where I can find your sermons online. He said, it's easy, middleofnowhere.org. So unfortunately, he's not posting his sermons and he's not sending me his notes, so we're on our own. One more word of introduction. Whatever you're doing in your personal devotions, and whatever you're doing in your personal Bible study, and I hope you're doing both, and I hope you understand the difference. But whatever you're doing in your devotions, and whatever you're doing in your Bible study, I hope that you will make some time for Philippians. Just a couple minutes every day. I'd like to encourage you for the next month, or 6 weeks, or 2 months, or if you want to go beyond that, great, once a week, perhaps on a Sunday afternoon, get your Bible and read Philippians from the first verse to the last verse. There's 104 verses. You can read the book of Philippians out loud in less than 15 minutes. The group that came on Friday night, we did it in 12 minutes. And we weren't reading fast. Read the book of Philippians. Read through it in one sitting. Then, when you get beyond that, then if you need to read one chapter a day for 4 days, read one chapter a day every day, however you do it, become familiar with it. And there's a value in this. And then take a few minutes to pray and pray for yourself, as the elders just prayed for us. Pray for yourself and pray for your family that Philippians will impact them. And pray for your brothers and sisters in Christ, that as we gather on Sunday mornings, the book of Philippians will impact them. And then let's speak the truth to each other. How many of you have ever heard the phrase, God is huge and he has a plan? How many of you have ever said that to somebody? Well, now let's do that with Philippians. Let's speak the truth of Philippians to one another. And this is important for us to do this. Well, today's text is about three things. First of all, it's about the servants of Jesus Christ. Secondly, it's about the saints of Jesus Christ. And then thirdly, it's a salutation or a greeting. Let's get into it. The servants of Jesus Christ, Paul. Paul was saved on the Damascus Road in Acts chapter 9. He was taught personally by the resurrected and ascended Lord Jesus Christ himself. You can go to Galatians chapter 1 and find Paul's testimony about the Lord teaching him personally. Paul was mentored by Barnabas in Acts chapter 11. And do you recall when we went through Romans verse by verse a couple of years ago, Romans chapter 1, a couple of words have been emphasized here on purpose. But Paul, Romans 1, Paul a servant. In the Greek, it's Paulos doulos, Jesu Christu. Paul, slave of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God. Now, Paul wrote 13 letters. 10 fingers, I'm holding up 3 toes. 13 letters, 12 times. 12 times he says, Paul, servant and apostle. One letter, he doesn't include apostle. It's right here in Philippians. Why? Why doesn't Paul refer to the fact that he's an apostle? Well, he doesn't tell us. My personal opinion is because the Philippians were his favorite church. You say, you're not supposed to have favorites, especially if you're an apostle. Well, you know what you do. You just do. And I think the Philippians were it. He's not dealing with problems for the most part until you get to chapter 4. They cared for him. They loved him. He didn't need to remind them that he was an apostle. And so he doesn't. But an apostle is a sent one, indicating Paul is under someone else's authority, and that is the risen and ascended Christ who taught Paul. So, this word servant here, it's a common description used by Paul and others. In Romans, it was the word doulos, because Paul is alone. At least he only mentions himself, and so he uses the singular. But here in Philippians, he uses the plural because he's talking about Paul himself and Timothy. So he uses the plural, and the top line there, those are the Greek letters, douloi, which is the plural. And then right beneath it, you have the English letter equivalent, douloi, and then the bottom, the translation is slave. But there's something going on here. Paul doesn't use his apostleship, doesn't mention it, but he mentions slave. And there's a big hint here, I think, what Paul is doing with the letter of Philippians. Now, what I'm about to say is going to upset some of you, and it's going to confuse others of you. I want to ask you, and don't say anything out loud, but I'm going to ask you, what is the theme of Philippians? What's the theme of Philippians? Now, I'm not going to call on anybody. In the first service, there was only one person who raised their hand. The rest of the people were cowards. How many of you think you know the theme for Philippians? Few more brave people. How many of you say, I absolutely have no guess? Okay, then the rest of you are cowards. Okay, at least we know where we stand. Okay, I'm just going to call it like it is. Okay, how many of you have ever heard somewhere in your life that the theme of Philippians is joy or rejoicing? You've at least heard that. You can at least admit that. It's joy or rejoicing. See, I don't think so. I used to. But let me just tell you what I did. I took about a 10 or 14 day period, and I determined I was going to read the book of Philippians every day, at least once a day, in one sitting. And so the first time I read through the book of Philippians, I just read it praying that the Lord would help my mind to stay on track. I just reading it for comprehension. And then I read it after that, looking for several different things, key words, key ideas. I read it through looking for a theme for the book. I read through it looking for a theme verse for the book. And there were 11, 12 people here on Friday night. We talked about this and that process that I went through. I would encourage you to do the same thing. Get alone, read Philippians out loud. It'll take you less than 15 minutes. Try to just do it for comprehension, not looking for anything in particular, but then go back through it time and time and time again and let stuff keep popping up. And what happened to me on Friday with that group that was here, I was seeing things that I hadn't seen until Friday. Just stuff keeps popping up all of the time. And so I believe the theme of Philippians is something bigger than just joy. I think joy is the result of the theme, and I think the theme for Philippians is found in Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. Paul writes, "Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus." There's a commonality in thought in the church, and the thought revolves around Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. If you look in here, you see Isaiah. Jesus is the suffering servant. You see Jesus' humility. You see Jesus' obedience. You see Jesus' exaltation. You see his sacrificial life. You see his sacrificial death are mentioned here. Jesus is exalted, and we see all humanity bowing down before him, and we see every tongue confessing that Jesus is God. This resonates with what we saw in John's gospel a couple of years ago. And I think that the theme of Philippians is Jesus, the humble servant of God, and Paul writes this letter so that all of us will live like Jesus Christ. You say, well, Don, isn't that the theme of every Bible book? Isn't that the purpose of every Bible book? Well, every book, every Bible book lifts up Jesus Christ, shows us the Father. Every Bible book doesn't necessarily show us the detail that we see, especially in the New Testament or here in Philippians. I think the call of Philippians is for us to live as humble servants of God. So, I want you to look at chapter 1 and verse 27, because I came to a point when I started looking through Philippians and trying to find the key verse. Tried to find the key verse of Philippians. What is it? What summarizes what Paul wants us to know, or how Paul wants us to live? And you say, how did you find verse 27? Well, it's the longest verse in the book. So, and now we're going to memorize it. So look at Philippians 1:27. Only let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you, remember, Paul's in prison, or, well, if we left our preconceived notions at the door, you didn't know Paul was in prison, did you? Well, Paul's in prison. He's hoping to get out, and he's hoping to go visit them. So he says, I come and see you, or I'm absent, I may hear of you that you are standing firm in one spirit, standing firm in unity with one mind, unity, striving side by side, unity for the faith of the gospel. So the ushers are going to come with some 3x5 cards. For those of you who are familiar with how I memorize scripture, I take a 3x5 card, and you can't tell this, but let me just, I take the line side, and come on, and I write the reference up here, and I want you to get a 3x5 card. Now, there is another option. I hate to do this in church, but I'm going to let you once. Get your phone and take a picture, not of this slide, but of this slide. I'm going to explain that in just a minute. I write the verse out. I write the verse out on the first side, every word of the verse. I write it out, whatever translation you're going to use to memorize, whatever you like to. I'm using the ESV, so I've written the verse out in the ESV. Then I turn the card over, and on the back side, I write the reference at the top, and those letters are the first letter of every word in Philippians 1:27. The O is only. The L is let. The Y is your. The M is manner. The O is of. The L is life. So on the back side, this is my cheat sheet. Now, I know others of you have different ways that you memorize Scripture. If you don't memorize Scripture, please start, at least with Philippians 1:27. You can start with this verse, commit it to memory. Now, while you have your phone out, I'm going to let you go to Facebook and like the Lakes Facebook page so all your friends know to watch Lakes Live. Okay, then you're going to put your phone away unless you're using it as a Bible. But if you're cheating and you're doing something else besides using it as a Bible, the Lord knows. So just keep that in mind. So we're going to memorize Scripture together. Philippians 1:27. We're going to memorize some other verses. You already have some verses memorized. And so we're going to learn Philippians 1:27 together, and we're going to start by reading this verse out loud right now, the reference before and after. Join me. Philippians 1:27. Only let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear that you are standing firm in one spirit with one mind, striving side by side for the faith of the gospel. Philippians 1:27. This is our objective. This is God's objective for us. Our manner of life, our mind. You just look at chapter 1, verse 27, and compare it with those couple verses in Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 11, and you will see multiple similarities, multiple connections. So let's connect our theme back to verse 1 and to Paul. The plural for slave, douloi, okay, John Piper appropriately bundles a couple of verses together. And so let me look at these verses. 1 Corinthians 7. For he who was called in the Lord as a bondservant. Here's our word, except this is the singular, doulos. The doulos is referring to a physical slave at this point. Here I am, first century, I'm a slave and I have an owner. And the Bible says, this verse is talking about the fact I got saved. And the Bible says, even though I am physically a slave, I am free in Christ. Likewise, he who is free when called is a slave of Christ. You were bought with a price. Do not become bondservants of men. Look at Galatians. For am I now seeking the approval of man or of God? Or am I trying to please man? If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a slave, doulos, of Christ. As a slave of Christ, I live to please Christ. Look at this. For when you were slaves of sin, doulos, you were free in regard to righteousness. You weren't concerned about righteousness. But what fruit were you getting at that time from the things of which you are now ashamed? For the end of these things is death. But now that you have been set free from sin and have become doulos of God, the fruit you get leads to sanctification and its end, eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. The word doulos, or the plural, douloi, is only used two times in Philippians. Philippians 1 and Philippians 2:7, speaking of Christ. Paul is drawing a direct connection between Christ and himself. I am a slave. I am a slave of Christ. Christ was God and took on human flesh. And this is what Paul is talking about. Now, why does Paul mention Timothy? We're going to investigate Timothy at the end of chapter 2. Timothy isn't the co-author. But at the end of chapter 2, beginning in verse 19, Paul mentions Timothy is selfless and looking out for others. And you can draw a line from this description of Timothy in chapter 2 to Jesus Christ right across the page. Timothy is a demonstration of the transforming power of the gospel. Timothy is the poster boy for grace. We're going to come back to Timothy. So let me summarize Philippians 1, the opening phrase. Paul and Timothy, slaves of the slave. The first slaves, small case s, the second slave, capital S. Paul and Timothy are slaves of the slave. Now, one more thing about Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is presented to us five names in Philippians. Jesus, Jesus Christ, Christ Jesus, Lord Jesus Christ, and Lord. Those five ways. You can go look for them yourself. One of the times that you're reading through the book of Philippians. So more about Timothy, more about the names of Jesus, but turn over just a couple pages towards the back of your Bible to Colossians chapter 3. It's page number 984. We've looked at the servants of Jesus Christ. Now we want to look at the saints of Jesus Christ. And remember, Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are at Philippi. So next we want to look at the saints. The word saint is hagios. And literally, hagios means holy one or righteous one. Now, righteousness is its own set of words. But the word hagios, holy ones or blameless ones, righteous ones. And so Paul is writing to the holy ones in Philippi. Now, I know that some of you come from religious traditions where the word saint refers to a specific category of Christian, right? You understand what I'm talking about? But that's not how the word is used in the Bible. And you see it in Philippians 1, and we're going to see it in Colossians here. And let me show you in Ephesians. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms, even as he chose us. This is the general choosing of God of sinners. Before the foundation of the world, why did he choose us? So that we will be hagios, holy and blameless before him in love. So Ephesians refers to the chosen, the redeemed. And who are the chosen, the redeemed? Well, they are holy. They are the holy ones, the blameless ones. Look at Colossians chapter 3 and verse 12. Look carefully, Colossians 3:12. Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved. Okay, so you see that as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved. The chosen ones who are hagios, holy ones, blameless ones, we, the chosen ones, the holy ones, we are to put on kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Wouldn't it be a great relief if we followed the religious system of some and had isolated saints and only they had to put on kindness? Whew. I'm glad I don't have to be kind. I'm not a saint, but I am. I am a saint. I'm one of the redeemed. And as one of the redeemed, I put on kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. And this is important for us to recognize because God chose us, Ephesians, and then he holied us. I looked it up in the dictionary, and I think I made this word up. Because God didn't holied us, he made us holy. And the good news is, he is making us holy. He is creating righteousness in us. We've been given the righteousness of Christ, but he is transforming us. And what an incredible combination of God's choosing and the connection to faith, and then the Lord perfecting us. And this is what the Lord is doing. And this is what the Lord had done in Philippi. So take a peek back at Philippians chapter 1. Hopefully you left a marker there. Take a peek back at Philippians chapter 1, because what we have here is the saints, the holy ones who are in Christ, who are at Philippi. Now leave a marker in Philippians 1 and turn to Acts chapter 16. And you will find Acts 16 on page number 924 of the Black Pew Bible. Acts 16, page number 924. I'm going to begin. You can catch up. I'll be calling out the verses as we go along. Acts 16:1, Paul and the missionary team included at least Silas, at least Luke, and picks up Timothy. There may have been others, but that's what we know about. Acts 16:1, they pick up Timothy and Lystra. Then, down in verses 6 through 10, the team receives what we call the Macedonian vision. This is a man calling out to Paul to come to Macedonia, which is Europe. So, God calls the mission team from Asia into Europe. And that's Acts 16, verses 6 through 10. Verse 12, Philippi is a Roman colony. Now, this is important that we get just a little bit of history, because two very, very prominent people in history came from Macedonia. The first one is Philip of Macedon. How many of you ever heard of Philip of Macedon? Philip of Macedon was a Greek general raised an army, was instrumental in helping to unify Greece, and then Philip dies, and his famous son, who is Alexander, takes over for Philip, Alexander the Great. And Alexander conquers the world. And then all of a sudden, the Roman Empire comes, and Alexander and Rome go head to head. And Rome wins. And Rome crushes Macedonia. Practically wipes Philippi off the map. Philippi is Philip. Philippi is named after Philip of Macedon. And Rome crushes it. And the people who are left with nothing. And Rome sends people, and they go to Philippi and they settle. And those people who settled in Philippi were retired Roman soldiers, retired Roman politicians, and Philippi became a Roman colony. And that's what you see in Acts 16, verse 12. Verse 13, we see the phrase place of prayer. This is significant. We know Paul's pattern was to go into a city and go to the synagogue and to preach Jesus Christ. Well, Paul goes into Europe and there's no synagogue. Do you know what that means? It means that there were less than 10 Jewish men in Philippi. Do you know what that means? The Jewish population in Philippi was very small. As a matter of fact, no Jewish man is named in Acts 16. But there's Jewish women. Now, we assume there's Jewish men, but there's a woman named Lydia. And Paul goes in to Philippi to the place of prayer, which was the place that the Jews met on the Sabbath day. This place of prayer was down by the river. Because there was no synagogue, Paul goes there and he preaches. He goes there and he meets a woman named Lydia, who is described to us as a God follower. And let me just explain very simply what that is. A God follower in the book of Acts is someone we would call an Old Testament saint. Living by the Old Testament, following the Old Testament, looking for the Messiah, but they haven't found him. The Gentile equivalent of this is in Acts chapter 10, a guy named Cornelius. Now, if any of this is over your head, catch me today, during the week, whatever, and I'll explain it. But Lydia is a God follower. But she doesn't know Jesus Christ. So Paul tells her. And she finds the Messiah she's been looking for. And she gets saved and baptized. And the indication is that some of her family members did too. A husband, kids, grandkids, cousins, siblings. We don't know. Lydia gets saved and some of her family gets saved. And then we see a slave girl in Acts chapter 16. Verse 16. This slave girl just makes our heart break. She's demon possessed. And there are people who are taking advantage of the spiritual calamity in her life. And they're abusing her. And this girl is following Paul and the team around, and you look in verse 17, this girl is calling out, "These men are servants of the Most High God who proclaim to you the way of salvation." And we say, amen. This girl is preaching the gospel. Shouldn't we be celebrating this? Shouldn't we be patting her on the back, commending her? But look at Paul's response. He is annoyed. Why in the world is Paul annoyed that this girl is preaching the gospel? Because, well, let me start here. 1 Peter chapter 5, remember we looked at it earlier this year. 1 Peter 5, Satan is a roaring lion walking around seeking whom he may devour. Mike used this verse on Sunday night. But here in Acts 16, Satan's not a roaring lion. He's an angel of light. And do you know what's happening? With this girl proclaiming this message, it appears as though this demon-possessed girl and this missionary team are on the same page. And they're not. This girl has nothing to do with Jesus Christ. And by doing, the demons doing what they are doing through this girl, it could confuse everybody. So what does Paul do? In the name of Jesus Christ, he casts out the demon, and we have the second convert in Europe. Hallelujah. We don't have time to look at the jailer today. Lord willing, we'll pick it up there next week. But listen, Lydia, as religious as you can get, is transformed by the gospel and saved. And this demon-possessed girl, tortured by demons, is delivered by the transforming power of the gospel. Now you are somewhere between these two. All of us are. Wherever you are on the spectrum between Lydia and this girl, the message of Philippians is the transforming power of the gospel. It's for you. It's for them. It's for me. It's for all of us. And as we approach Philippians, we want the Lord to be transforming us to be like his servant, Jesus Christ. That's our desire. This is our passion. Read Philippians. Memorize Philippians 1:27. Memorize other verses. But this is where we're going to be for however long it takes to get through the book of Philippians. Heavenly Father, lead us to truth. Help us to check our preconceived notions. If there's someone who thinks that they've heard this before and they don't need it again, Lord, convince them otherwise. Lead us to the truth. And now, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. God bless you.